Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And yes, we are still in the marketing phase here. I actually want to let you know that I'm sitting here with a phone next to the microphone. And so I just want you to know that if it rings, there's a good chance it might be Bob. So I've got to kind of watch the area code and who's calling me. So because I'm waiting to talk to him. We are hoping to be able to have this conversation regarding the petition and going after the federal government and Congress for failing to do their job. As you know, in Article 4 of the Constitution, it clearly states, and actually we're going to pull it up for you, because, you know, we keep the Constitution right here ready to go. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or executive when the legislature... So this is a semicolon, by the way. So that first part is the United States shall guarantee to each state in the union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them from an invasion, semicolon. And on application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislatures cannot be convened against domestic violence. So in other words, they guarantee to protect the states against domestic violence as well. And so it's only on an application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened. So there's actually a legitimate problem with Kate Brown failing not to call upon the federal government to actually intervene against the domestic violence. And I would like to see the good people of the state of Minnesota, Seattle, the state of Oregon, do a class action lawsuit against the governor for failing to protect their property and in supporting an insurrection and therefore petitioning based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment that because they failed to support their oath of office, which requires them to support the Constitution, that they no longer ever able to hold a public office again. Bottom line, that should be a minimum, as well as suing them for the damages. Wouldn't that be a nice thing? Would not that be actual justice? Anyway, so what we want to do is actually, you know, really start pursuing this. And what I did allude to Bob in a previous conversation today is that we are going to socialize the fact that he's going to be doing this. So he's going to be working on the documentation and what is necessary to actually go into the petition. And in talking with him, and he doesn't want me to put this out, but I'm going to anyway, because, you know, it's about freedom, right? It's about liberty. The last petition, when we petitioned the Congress to actually do their job in rejecting the Electoral College, which ended up becoming the lawsuit that is actually moving forward. So Bob now has two big lawsuits, one that's been around for over a decade, and then this one that is calling upon Congress to do their job. Now he's going to have another really big one that's basically going to be going up the court line with this. The last petition and lawsuit that he has done, executed, cost him a little over $6,000. And he doesn't have the money to do this, but he had, you know, he has a heart of gold, and he doesn't want me to say, hey, we can't do this without your financial support. Bottom line, we all need financial support, and everybody, and the government is doing everything to make sure that people have less discretionary funds to support actual causes that will actually fix the problem. Now, I still haven't sent out my constitutional minutes last week because I'd been waiting to talk to Bob and said, well, I will just wait a week and I'm going to send out constitutional minutes later on this week and begging the state legislators to actually take the charge on this so that Bob's work can just be handed over because even though it cost him time, it's going to take him several hours, probably take him a couple of days to work and work out the petition. But to have the company that manages the petition online to print these things out, to go down to D.C. to serve Congress, this first petition, and then to file in the court, that costs a lot of money. And even what I'm doing costs money, but I don't ask for money. And as a matter of fact, I try not to even talk about things that I have for sale, just due to the fact that I don't want to be peddling. If you want to reach out and say, what can I do? You know, is there, how can I donate? How can I help or what have you? That's one thing. But Bob needs financial support. If you go to the We the People Foundation, go there and he has a donation button. You click on that and then it'll go to a page that will actually help you delineate whether you want to give a one-time donation or donate $6 a month. The We the People Foundation, along with the National Liberty Alliance, both need your financial support. Neither of them really charge anything for becoming a member. It would be nice to be able to keep it that way, but we also, I'm of the opinion that you take things a lot more serious when you're putting money into something, because that's hard-earned money. There's no doubt in my mind. I appreciate hard-earned money, and a good American that has actually worked to earn money and develop wealth, they understand that. And so when you're actually convinced of getting involved and putting money on the line, then I believe you're walking down this path of, you know, putting your money where your mouth is as well. And 9 times out of 10, people that do both, when they're financially vested as well as, you know, joining and getting involved, you're actually I think you're just firing on all cylinders. That's why when you look at those people who are actually doing this to make money, it's almost like when I look at the conservative entertainers and I look at those in the conservative grievance industry, that side of the grievance industry, as Bill O'Reilly called it way back when he was on Fox, I look at this whole paradigm that's perpetrating from the grievance industry as like an evangelical movement where there's people getting up there and they're trying to tell you what you want to hear so that you can reach into your pockets and boy, we're gonna fix these problems, where none of them are really fixing the problems. Nobody really actually has a solution. They'll say, oh, well, prayer is the answer, and we're going to pray for this, or we're going to do this. But even when I listen to conservative entertainers, they say, well, we're going to educate our way out of this. That is not the solution. We already have the solution. This is why I challenge you to bet your life as well as I will. I'll bet my life that if these people are really Christian, then they would actually get on board with the real solution instead of serving mammon and putting, you know, their career and their mortgage and all of those things on the line. I find the hypocrisy, you know, as they point to the left of being hypocrites. I see the same problem with many, if not all, of those in the conservative grievance industry. Anyway, as you know, this show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org. You're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. We have a comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, somebody called the other day, and they didn't leave a message. And it was a legitimate call, but I'm not going to tell, I'm not going to mention the name. But by all means, if you can muster up the courage, I know we've got a lot of callers. I know, not callers, but I know we have a lot of listeners. And I also know that there's a lot of people, because when I listen to the conservative grievance industry and these conservative entertainers, a lot of them don't have people calling. They've been on the air. They have much bigger audiences than I have. And the hours will go by where they don't get, and weeks will go by when they don't get a phone call. They just kind of go on and talk about how they're going to solve the problem with educating, with homeschooling. And I'm telling you, friends, we do not have the time. If you do not understand how close the progressives are, the communist movement is, into sealing the deal, we don't have time. The day I stop broadcasting, the day I just disappear, is the day it's too late. And, well, I will always say this, that I am going to be wrong if the Lord steps in. And what I mean by that is that the Lord can do anything. He can do anything. There's no doubt in my mind. But if I step out and all of a sudden he steps in, well, okay, then that's good. Then the problem will get solved. But when I step out, that basically means that I'm convinced that there's nothing more I can do, and we just have to leave it to the Lord. Now, I've told people that I'll never quit, but we will get to a point when if the states actually capitulate, they actually throw away the Constitution, we go down this path of sealing the deal for the progressives, I only see the only way out of it is through the Lord. And as a matter of fact, I'm constantly getting hit up, and on Mobius Strip Press, people actually put posts up there. They'll actually come in and give me questions. And I probably should, if there's a way of making these things, these messages, you know, but I'll say public, if there's a way of doing that, I'd really like to do that, because I think that a lot of people should probably see some of these things. So before we move on, I'm going to kind of give you some feedback that I'm getting from some people regarding the Republic Review and what they perceive as the problem. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so actually, before I get into that, let me kind of get through some of the obligatories. As you know, I've already given you the comment line, and we haven't talked about Red Pill Expo. I have no idea how long it will take for my recovery so that I can get around and about. I was actually hoping to have the surgery by now, so that actually a couple of weeks ago, which would have put me on path to be able to be out and about with the summer freedom. Not like we're going to get any freedom from Biden, but anyway, I want to just let you know, I will try to be in South Dakota on June 4th, 5th, and 6th. However, recovery is key, as you know. Anyway, I want to also give you some heads up that as we kind of move forward into the news today, I hope Harry is listening. because Harry, just remember, Harry was actually one that pointed to Trump as being the superior candidate regarding national security and, you know, putting America on the right economic path and those types of things. He just voted against him because he felt that his tweets, you know, just like you see these memes about people, well, you know, at least we don't have that orange man tweeting anymore. We got all these terrible things happening, but at least that orange man's no longer tweeting. Anyway, wow, really? I'm at a loss here. So let me get into what feedback I've been getting. And just so you understand, there has been a movement of sovereign citizens. There's people out there that are trying to resurrect this concept of committees of safety. They're basically telling us that our state governments are illegitimate, and they all understand that what the federal government is doing is illegitimate, but that doesn't make the Constitution. And the states that have ratified the Constitution recognize that that is illegitimate. I don't understand why people do not get this concept regarding the Constitution, the states being the stakeholders to the Constitution, and this fact that the states are the parties. If the states haven't delegated, that the states at any point in time can stand up and go, where did we delegate this authority for you to create corporations? Where did we get you the authority to just run amok and do anything and create this annotated Constitution? The states have never surrendered this authority. The states are the supreme entity regarding the compact, regarding the Constitution. And there's nothing that the federal government can say that they've got all the power, that they've done all of these other things, that, you know, everything that they've done is legitimately legal in their courts, not in the state's court. And this is why Republic Review is that critical. It is literally that critical. Therefore, when it comes to the Constitution and who has the authority, when people tell you it's we the people, don't believe them. It's we the people of the sovereign states. In other words, it is in a republican form of government. That means our representatives in the sovereign states are the overseers. They are the overlords over the federal government and that Constitution. I don't know how many times I have to say this, and we go through this all the time. So these organizations that are trying to get people to, you know, go into legal processes to do this, to, you know, to change your name, to change your title, to become a sovereign citizen, this is a complete waste of time. And as a matter of fact, all you do is you put yourself in jeopardy. Because you're trying to no longer become, because it's almost like it's a bad thing to being a U.S. citizen. The Constitution created U.S. citizens when we created this government and giving them jurisdiction over these small things. So anyway, these small things like these little enumerated powers, like declaring war, just these few things that they can do, they have jurisdiction over. They don't have jurisdiction over life. They can't say that you have a right to an abortion. They have no right over marriage. They can't say that, you know, two of the, you know, homosexuals can get married. They don't have that jurisdiction, and they can't mandate these things. And in the same light, because instead of amending the Constitution, like with the 14th Amendment, they created a Civil Rights Act like they did back in 1866, and they just presumed that they have the constitutional authority to inflict that upon us. Why didn't they pursue a constitutional amendment? Oh, because it would have set a bad precedent. But we've actually had amendments passed since then, since the Civil Rights Act of 1964. What the heck's going on? They want to use tyranny, and they want to use their arbitrary rule as much as they possibly can to subjugate us. And if you look at what Biden is doing, if you look at what the communists are doing, all of these people, I'm telling you, you really want to see these people do perp walks. Trump will never do it, and the next president won't do it. The only way we're going to put Hillary in cuffs and have her do a perp walk along with Obama, along with all of these contemptible treasonous you-know-whats, is by doing Republic Review and having the states mandate this. Now, as a matter of fact, what I recommend is that when the countries that come along and say, hey, we created this debt in a legitimate contract. No, actually, you didn't commit it in a legitimate contract because the government never had the legitimacy in the Constitution to do those things. So when China says, well, you owe us all of this money, the United States, actually we don't, but here are the people that frauded you. If you want to make that claim, like Obama, Biden, and all these other people, and if it comes down to it, and even Trump is culpable, we need to send them all of these people so that they can get their pound of flesh. But we want to make sure we evenly divide it up to all those who created these fraudulent debt contracts in buying our debt, because they basically were buying into the demise of America. They weren't buying into a legitimate funding of legitimate government. They were funding an illegitimate government. Why is it that people don't get this? Anyway, as we move forward, we kind of want to get into these petitions, but let me just reemphasize one more time, and I'm actually going to get into some need-to-know news, but I'm going to actually get into this crisis of what the heck's going on. In my conversation with Bob over the past, the past week and today, we still need to have another conversation, and I'm hoping that the phone will ring any minute here. But bottom line is, for three decades, if not more, we have been under an invasion, and the Constitution is very clear that in Article 4, that the United States government is to protect each state from an invasion. And Article 1, Section 8 clearly tells Congress what they're supposed to do. They're to provide for calling forth the militia, to repel invasions. Not repeal, but that's the one thing that they're supposed to do. Now, this isn't an immigration crisis. This is an invasion. People are coming here because they believe that they can obtain access by bypassing our laws and even by using the word asylum. Now, nowhere in the Constitution did the states ever delegate the authority to the federal government to offer or grant asylum. It is one thing to have uniform immigration laws, and you can put that underneath the immigration laws, but just because somebody wants asylum because they get here, that doesn't mean that they should have it. As a matter of fact, the asylum process that is applicable everywhere in the world is that you have to go to the embassy to apply for asylum. And then we process that claim to determine whether it is legitimate. We're spending more money on bringing people in here and giving away your wealth. It would be cheaper for us to fix those governments where these people are coming from. Why don't we just annex these states? I mean, if the people are abandoning these governments at this kind of rate, why don't we make Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, even Mexico and the Honduras and all of these countries, why don't we just annex them and make them territories so that they don't have to even do the trek? What the heck is going on? This is an undermining of our U.S. Constitution. This is a deliberate attack, and so I can't see any other way to present this to you. This is why this petition against Congress for actually following the constitutional duties that they execute, that we need to get this done. So even though Bob has asked me not to plead and ask you to provide money, because he doesn't want to create those contingencies, he does need some back relief for what he's already spent on the last lawsuit. Anyway, So this here is in the news, and I believe this is possibly out of the, New York Post, Washington Times, whatever. U.S. authorities arrested and encountered more than 100,000 immigrants on the U.S.-Mexico border over the past 4 weeks, ending on March 3rd. And we'll give you the more details of all of this story, because what we want to do is we want to paint the picture so that you understand the magnitude of this problem. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. This is because it takes time for people to actually start packing up their things and running north. And so these are people that are probably already in Mexico. But like I said, this is the tip of the iceberg. We'll be right back after these two promos. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me repeat this. U.S. authorities arrested and encountered more than 100,000 migrants on the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, I just want you to understand, this means that they've touched or handled over 100,000. What about those who they didn't touch? What about those who came across in the middle of the night that, you know, over the past several weeks since Biden's been in administration, and having these agencies stand down, no longer having the vigilance in obtaining and stopping this? Anyway, according to data obtained by CNN, marking the highest levels for the same time frame in 5 years. The number of migrants arrested in the southern border has been increasing in recent weeks, causing alarm among officials as they scramble to provide resources for the increase in minors and families who are unlawfully crossing the U.S. The surge in immigrants, or migrants, actually, these are, let's call them invaders. They want to use the words migrants. Because a migrant actually comes and goes, right? The migration of birds. They go for the summer in one place, and they go to the winter in another place. Or they flip back and forth between the equatorial line to stay in the summer zones. Anyway, the surge in invaders adds to a growing sense of emergency for the Biden administration, which has been seeking to unwind the Trump administration's immigration policies over that time. Illegal aliens or invaders are on track to top last 3 years combined For all those concerned about illegals flooding into our country, you should be concerned as the Biden administration attempts to make immigration a major priority, including reforming the Trump-era policies. All eyes are being drawn to the southern border. John Molden, the interim chief patrol agent for the Border Patrol's Tucson sector, suggested that illegal border crossings in his area are on the rise in a recent interview, Full Measure, with Cheryl Atkinson. Cheryl Atkinson basically quotes him as saying, so right now we're about 100% over where we were at this time last fiscal year. We've already surpassed in the first 4 months of this fiscal year, which started in October, we've already surpassed all of 2018. If the flow in 2018 was before Trump really had his successes in stopping these surges because he appealed to Mexico to hold these people back. If the flow continues, and all of a sudden Mexico is just letting them go now. If the flow continues at this rate, it is to getting here. By the end of this fiscal year, we will have surpassed 18, 19, and 2020 all combined. Modlin says, specifically referencing the number of people who have been detained and later released. Further, according to Atkinson, in just the last 4 months, Border Patrol officials have intercepted, they don't say Border Patrol officials, but I'm including it, Border Patrol officials have intercepted and expelled more than almost 300,000 invaders trying to cross our border. Just to add to this story, the U.S. House of Representatives on Tuesday passed legislation, which is today, to end the threat of deportation that has long hung over the undocumented invaders known as Dreamers who entered the United States when they were children. By a vote of 237 to 187, the Democratic-controlled House approved the legislation despite opposition from the White House, which said the move would reward illegal immigration. Now, I'm just telling you that the White House is doing lip service just so that they don't look bad. Why? Because the White House and the president has sworn an oath to enforce, faithfully enforce the laws of the land. Only 7 Republicans voted for the bill. There have been no signs that the Republican-controlled Senate, and in this particular case, the Democratic-controlled Senate now, would consider the House bill. As a matter of fact, the bill that is moving forward over to the House this week will probably not muster because it's not a simple majority to get these bills passed. And unless they undo those things, because remember, I told you and I complained about the danger of breaking the filibuster as well as breaking the supermajority and suspending or actually getting rid of that, making it just a basic majority for seating Supreme Court justices. It's just a matter of time where they actually challenge and undo all of these, what we call these thresholds or protections, to ensure that there is at least a super, not a super majority, but a good solid majority. And I think the majority requirement is 60 senators have to vote for, which means that we're heading towards a basic democracy in the Senate, just like in the House. And so as we start really, you know, peeling the onion back, we're going to start seeing how all of these illegals and what the progressives are trying to do, even though they can't grant the amnesty, Biden is going to try to use executive orders to do this, because that's what he's been doing. He's been legislating from the White House. Folks, what is it going to take? When are you going to get serious about actually standing up? Now, I will say this. I've been getting a lot more emails and a lot more correspondence, and it's been a very significant uptick. I am asking you to do just more than that. What I'm asking you to do is, if you really want to help, I would ask that you reach out to the NLA. But before you do, even, Get smart on Republic Review. We need you in the NLA to help lead at the ground level in your county, in your state. I'm working with people in Minnesota. I've got people in North Carolina, Arizona, South Dakota, Montana. I mean, we've got people in lots of states down in Georgia. We have people in lots of states that are either, and I'm trying to get them involved in the NLA as well. Many of these people are. But what we need you to do is get smart and then become a part of the NLA, because then you can become a spokesperson, a statesperson, if there's such a thing. That way you can actually go and speak and address your state legislators on the importance of getting behind the audit of the Constitution of the federal government. We will make you so smart that you'll be able to walk in. And one of the things we're going to be doing, you can be able to walk in and actually be able to give them irrefutable evidence that this is what they have to do. One of the things we're going to do with this irrefutable evidence is we want to have meetings, and I'm actually going to be hopefully going to a couple of different states, and South Dakota will hopefully be one of them, as well as I know Montana and a few others, and I'm trying to do this in Wyoming as well. That this summer we actually go, and it'll probably be later in the summer, because I think I'll be at least mobile by then. But what we want to do is we actually want to get the state legislators who are sponsoring and supporting the Convention of States to come and state their piece. I don't want the John Birchers there, nor the Eagle Forum there. What I want is I want these people to state their piece so that we can, as reasonable people, getting equally informed, we can actually help them understand why what they're doing. They're absolutely right. The John Birchers and everybody else that says, don't do anything, do not do this, and they don't provide any alternative, they, as far as I'm concerned, they've got blood on their hands. What we have to do is we have to give them the irrefutable evidence that you're absolutely right. We have to do something. And this is why Madison didn't ask for, and Jefferson didn't ask for, an Article 5 convention. They proved their case that you already possess the authority. Why are you letting Meckler waste your time and the Convention of States organization to wasting your time? They're misinforming you for a reason. Because they don't even care about solving the problem. They only care about making money by promoting what they're trying to do, and they're trying to convince people that this is the process. Clearly, they're not looking at what Madison said. And so when we get into the ratification debates, and once we get through that, we are going to dive into this Republic Review. Actually, it won't be the next thing, because we have the Assumptions Act and some of the things that happened with the U.S. government and so forth after the ratification debates. But in 1798, which is just shortly after these other little topics that we'll dive into, we're going to go into detail regarding this concept of nullification. And actually, what people don't understand is when Madison talks about nullification, his notes on nullification, he uses interposition more than he uses nullification, significantly more. And so I'm here to tell you that the states, the only process, the only path forward is getting the states to interpose and demand and force, using political force, and forcing the federal government into compliance. We don't need to fire a weapon. All we need to do is utilize the Constitution as our weapon. That's all we need, because the states are the ultimate authorities and they are the ultimate judges over all of this. Anyway, some of the things that we want to move on into, as you know, I mentioned in my previous episode that the Biden administration has been reaching out to North Korea. Well, I don't know if you know who, what is her name? Kim Yo-jong, which is basically Kim Jong-un's sister. She made the news today. And the message she has for America and South Korea kind of resembles what I've been telling you. And we'll be right back with this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as we were just getting into the North Korea, we'll call it a debacle I don't know if it's really a debacle. I think what does Biden expect? He's already the lapdog for the Chinese Communist Party. Well, he's basically been lowered down to Kim Jong-un status, as well as all of the rest of these lapdogs that are now feeding out of the Chinese Communist Party's lap. And so this is what happened. Kim Jong-un's sister offers, quote, words of advice, close quote, to U.S. as Biden officials start Asia trip. She slammed the U.S. and South Korea for holding military exercises and threatened to scrap a defense pact if Seoul acts more provocatively. Could make Americans lose sleep, quote-unquote, state media reported Tuesday. The statement was delivered Tuesday by Kim Yo-yong in Pyongyang's official Rodong Simnum newspaper. It's just amazing. So some of these names, and I've had to work with Korea in intelligence studies, so some of these names I know how to pronounce, but anyway. And it comes after the U.S. last week began joint military exercises with South Korea. And this time of year, this is usually when they do Team Spirit. I don't know if they call it Team Spirit anymore. But in the statement, Jung offered a word of advice to the new administration of the United States. And this is a quote, a word of advice to the new administration of the United States that is struggling to spread the smell of gunpowder on our land. If you wish to sleep well for the next 4 years, it would be better not to create work from the start that will make you lose sleep, she said. In other words, she's definitely committing and actually proposing a threat. Now, you've known my position for a long time, that I have no idea why Trump didn't do this, and I have no idea why American leaders are failing to call upon Hong Kong, Taiwan, Nepal, Vietnam, and all puppet governments that are under the influence of the Chinese Communist Party to actually appeal to the United States to have a vote. Have the people go vote for in a democratic, and we'll come in and help them with the vote, with the election, to determine whether they become a state in the United States and no longer have any affiliation or ties to the Chinese Communist Party in China. Really? Section 3 of the Constitution states, and this is the admission of new states and the power of Congress over territory and other property. One, new states may be admitted by the Congress into this union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state. So none of these states actually qualify for these disqualifications, because basically if you're forming out of the junction of two or more states without the consent of the legislatures is a concern, as well as Congress. So in other words, you have to get all these approvals if you have any association, like what they're trying to do in splitting some states. They have to get the state legislatures of those states to actually approve that. Well, you don't need that here. All we need is the people to have a vote to say we'd like to become a state. Then we can put them and register them as a territory and help them transition into the U.S. dollar, transition into our legal system, and transition into our language. And it'll probably take 30, 40 years. But as they become a territory, we can put bases right there in Hong Kong. We can put bases right there in Taiwan, put bases in Nepal, you know, put an Air Force base right there in Nepal. We can then actually provide them a level of protection as well as a course for permanency in liberty. Do you understand the importance and the power that comes with that? Now, one of the things that people, when I talk to them about state rights and state property, when a state becomes a state, it is no longer a territory. It fully transitions into a sovereign entity, and it has equal footing as the original 13 states that formed the United States government. And so in the second section of our second subsection of Section 3 of Article 4, the Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States. So in other words, they can make all of these rules while this property is a territory. And nothing in this Constitution shall be so construed as to prejudice any claims of the United States or of any particular state. So in other words, once a state becomes a state, then there's nothing in this Constitution that shall be construed to prejudice any claims that are of that state. In other words, that becomes their land, that is their sovereign property. There is only these needful buildings that is mentioned in Article 1, Section 8, as well as military training, the ports and ports of entry, those types of things. The Constitution is very clear. And the framers were very, very clear in the ratification of 8. That's why we go through them, so that you clearly understand that they do not have the power to possess any land that is outside these enumerated powers or these enumerated rights given to the federal government. Because in the ratification debates, they clearly pointed out that the best way to rob states and its citizens of its wealth is to hold back and for the federal government or the central government, the king in this particular case, because they pointed to the king and the Sherwood Forest and these reserves that the king basically claimed for himself, so that all the game and all the food that was abundantly clear out in these forest areas, the king claimed those, and so the people could not feed themselves. It was a way of oppressing. And they said that there is nothing more oppressive than when the central government has the ability to control any and have the discretion to control any land that they want. Well, folks, what do you think they've been doing with the Environmental Protection Agency? What do you think they've been doing with these stupid parks? These are state parks. If the state chooses to make these parks, then they're state parks. Even if a private citizen, such as the Roosevelts, such as the Rockefellers, such as any wealthy, even Bill Gates, if he wants to give that land to the federal government, that's all he is. Or I should say, that's all he can do is want. He cannot, because the Constitution does not allow people, or actually, it doesn't allow the federal government to even take land from people freely. oh, I want to give this to you. No, that is state property. And when I say it's state property, the state actually does have, as we create governments, right? Because governments are instituted by men. As we create these states, we have to give them, and the concept of property tax and the concept of property controls falls underneath state government, not federal government. We've created this entity by creating the state of Oklahoma, by creating the state of Wisconsin. These states exist, and the government then has the ability to come up with their own way of taxing. And that's between the people of that state and their government and their representatives. And if the people of the state don't like what they're doing, then there are processes of changing that. And I'm here to tell you that we have to be very, very careful when we start looking at the sovereign citizen movement, when we start looking at the committees of safety, because what these things are doing is they're moving you down this path of taking a treasonous position towards the actual, the organic, or the constitution that has been ratified by the states, including its amendments. We have to acknowledge that the Constitution is still our legitimate supreme law of the land, the one that the states ratified, not this one that the Congress has been keeping up with thousands and thousands of pages and these registries and everything else that they've created, these legal links. There's nothing in the states never delegated. You have to understand this. The states never delegated that power and authority to the federal government to be able to do those things, period. Which means that what they're doing is violating the Constitution. So anyway, let me just jump forward into an actual G. Edward Griffin need-to-know news. And actually, there's a couple of stories that I'm going to get into. And these have everything to do with my comments that I was making the other day regarding ideologies and cultures who are incompatible to liberty. And we've talked about this as the Mohammedans or the Nation of Islam and the laws of Islam are absolutely incompatible with our U.S. Constitution. So anybody that professes to be a part of that religion and actually wants to practice that religion, they cannot, because if you understand the oath of a citizen, and so what we'll do in our next episode, because I'm almost out of time, is we're going to start off our next episode with the oath of a citizen. Because the first thing a citizen has to do as you become a citizen is you have to denounce your affiliation and your recognition of any other sovereigns. Now, when we recognize, you got to understand that Christ is our sovereign in Christianity, but he doesn't tell us not to obey the laws, and he does not tell us not to do, or if you look at the scriptures, not to at least abide by and respect other people's rights and so forth. However, when you look at the teachings of Muhammad, it's 180 from that. Anyway, that's why we're going to start off with the oath, and then we'll get into these stories by G. Edward Griffin. What's it going to take to get you involved? I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.